We are studying about the will of God. Today I would like to start from book of Ephesians chapter 2. We learned that God's plan was to redeem mankind and give us eternal life. And that's what God did. And once we are born again, children of God, then God wants us to do things for His glory. Ephesians chapter 2, starting from verse 1.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Here the word of God is saying, each and every person who is not a born-again child of God, that person's condition is spiritually dead. When they're spiritually dead, they can only do deadly things. What deadly things means not spiritual. If the person can do anything in a flesh that is hurting others, hurting himself, and disobeying God. This was the condition of the people without God and without Christ. Fulfilling the desires of their flesh and of their mind, and were by nature they were the children of wrath. That means God's wrath was upon the mankind. That's what the word of God says. We were enemy to God. When we commit sin, we are going against the will of God. And then we are enemy to God. So the word of God says, even though we were enemy, we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for the mankind. So God's mercy we see in Christ. Let's read further.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
See, here it says, God's grace we see in Christ. That's why the book of St. John chapter 1 verse 17, it says, the law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So here we see the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So he says, the verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. And that's why we are saved by the grace of God. Not a single person can say, I was a good person, and that's why God blessed me. There is not a good person in this world without God. You remember one man came to Jesus and he says, good master. He says, why are you calling me good? There is only good is God is good. So he was trying to tell him that you recognize that I'm God. Without God, there is no goodness. Without God, there is no love. Without God, there is no grace. And we see around the world, there are so many religions in the world, but they do not know where God is and who is God. They are worshiping blindly without knowing God. The word of God says in St. John chapter 1 verse 18, no man hath seen God any time, but Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed us who God is. So Jesus Christ is the one who came into this world and had grace upon us, died for us, and by grace we are saved. Verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Once you are saved by grace, then you should be thankful to God that I was not able to save myself God has saved me, and he says he has lifted me up, and now we are sitting in the heavenly places. That means we should have closeness with God. We are called by God, and so we should be pleasing God. That is the plan of God. He says, not by works, lest any man should boast. There is not a single man can do good works. And even the people are doing good works, somebody will say, how can you say people are not doing good works? Yes, they are doing charitable works. They are going to Africa and help AIDS patients. They are giving money for cancer research. Many other good things they are doing. But according to the word of God, it says their good things, God is not saying those good things. Why? Because their heart is not good. If their heart is not good, whatever they do, it's considered like a filthy rags. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64 and verse 6.
But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
See, he said, but we are all, not one person, all as an unclean thing. That means each and every person born into this world. And when they know what sin is, the sin is unclean things, ugly things. Sin is unrighteousness. If somebody is committing sin or living in sin, God hates sin. So God cannot pamper sin. When Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of God, but when he was on the cross and God put all our sins on him, so God turned his face away from him. So the word of God is saying each and every person who doesn't know God, he is doing righteous things, thinking he is doing righteous, but their work is like a filthy rag. Why? Because God wants your heart, not your works. You know the Cain and Abel. Abel brought an offering. The word of God says, God respect Abel. Read that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. God respect the Abel. And when Cain brought the offering, God did not respect the Cain. What was the problem? Problem was the heart. Abel's heart was right with God. Cain's heart was not right with God.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering.
See, first he respect Abel, then offering.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
See, Cain he did not give respect, and his offering. If the Cain's heart was good with God, his offering will be good. So Cain knew that he has to give the blood sacrifice, but he said, I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't want to do what God tells me to do. That's why his offering was not good in the sight of God. So that's why Isaiah says, if any person does any good things, thinking that their good things God will approve, and they're doing something wrong against God, God says, your good works are like a filthy rags. And each and every person is a sinner, according to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means there is no righteous person in the world. That's why Jesus Christ came. And why he came? Because he wanted us to doing his good works. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See, he says God wanted his people to do good things, good works, but not a single person was able to do anything good. If they start doing good things without God and without coming to God, their good things were filthy rags. But now when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, fulfilled the will of God, pleased God, and now he forgives our sins. Now once we are in Christ, and God sees you in Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, now you are righteous. And so anything we do in Christ, those things are good works. So we did not get saved by doing good works. We saved by grace. But once we get saved, then we do good works because Jesus Christ works through us. We cannot do anything good. Only God. Now see, when I pray for somebody, that person might be a sinner, doing all kinds of sinful things, and that person is frustrated. I said to that person, come to Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then your life will be transformed. That's what the Word of God is saying. Once you are born again, child of God, people are going to see you and they are going to recognize that you are doing things which an ordinary person cannot do. You are a child of God. That's why you're doing. When you're a child of God, you cannot lie, you cannot cheat, you cannot disobey, you cannot do anything wrong because you are presenting Christ, saying, I am a child of God. Look at me. Wherever you go, people are going to see how you're doing. Go to the Ephesians chapter 6. We went last week, a little bit we studied. Ephesians chapter 6, start reading from verse 5.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ.
You're going to work, there is a boss. You see that boss. That boss might be not saved. That boss might be Hindu, a Muslim, or Jewish, or unsaved man. But if you're working for him, you're not working for him, you're working for Christ. That's what he's saying. You have to believe that I am going to love my job and whatever I'm doing, and I'm going to please God. That's what my job is. So here he's saying, do the work with the fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So you working for God, you're not working for man. It can be hospital, it can be company, it can be anybody's place you're working. You are not working for man, you are working for God. And that's what he said, do work with the trembling and in singleness of your heart. That means your heart should be tuned to God and to your work. You should not be going to work and wasting the time and taking somebody's pay for free. People go to work and they don't work. They just walk around, do chatting, do this, do phone calls, and do not do the job. It's not pleasing in the sight of God. When you are working 8 hours and somebody's paying you, you have to work just like you're working for God. Verse 6.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
See, again he says, not with eye pleasers, means if somebody comes, oh, I'm doing job, and the person goes, then do whatever you want to do. With the word of God is saying, you don't please people, and you don't try to do the things pleasing to them. You're working for God, even though it's not God's company, but you are there as a servant of Christ. And people should know, nobody's watching this person. See how busy he is, how he's working 8 hours, and don't gossip or don't do anything. That person is a witness in his job. So that's what he's saying. When you're serving as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That means I belong to God, I am here, and I'm going to do my job from my heart. There was a young man, and he got a job to washing dishes. And he was washing and polishing and cleaning. And one person came and said, why are you doing this, so much polishing and so much cleaning? The other person was working before. He was just wash and rinse and throw it away. So why are you doing this? He said, if Jesus Christ walking by, I can see his face. I'm doing for Christ. I'm not doing for somebody else. So that's what the word of God says. You're doing the will of God. You're doing for not man, you're doing for Christ. That's what you have to do. And when you're doing the work, sometimes you don't like the job and you cursing the man and cursing everybody and when I'm going to finish the job and when I'm going to get out of here. And sometimes they are in their mind is wandering, their mind is not in work, their mind is not anywhere. That's why they get into accident. That's why they get into more trouble. But the Word of God says, if you are a child of God, you always think about God. Let's read the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Keep your mind always busy with God. Praying.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
See, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Whatever you're doing, you do with a prayerful heart. Sometimes I'm washing my dishes and I say, praise the Lord. Do vacuuming, praise the Lord. And I'm keeping my heart tuned to God, always praying and singing and praising. Wherever I go, whistle the songs, praise God. I am always thinking about God. Even though you don't get time to go on your knees, you cannot be on your knees 24 hours, but in your heart. My wife does also same thing when she's working. And the other day she said she was speaking in tongue and praising God. And one of the officer, means some of the boss, passed by. These people might be thinking I'm crazy or something. I said, thank God your language is different. So they might be thinking you might be saying something in your language. They don't know the unknown tongue. Point I'm making, you be busy in the Lord, praising God, thinking about God in your spirit, instead of thinking what I'm going to do when I go home. I'm going to call this person and I'm going to curse that person. Don't do that. Pray. Thank God. God has kept us alive. There are people dying without God and without Christ. We should be thankful to God. Before you get out of the bed, just say, thank you, Jesus, for one more day in my life. And start your day with prayer. That's what he said. Pray always. And he said, praying for what? Praying for all saints. There are believers having lots of problems. Everywhere they go, they have problems. You should pray for the saints of God, including pastors, the brothers and sisters. Go to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
He says, don't be unwise. When you're praying all the time in your spirit, God's will be appearing to you. There are people, they never pray. And when they say, anything comes to their mind, God told me this, and God told me that. When you are praying or you're asking something, anything comes to your mind. Somebody goes to somebody's house and, you know, God told me to come to your house and pray for you. Maybe God didn't tell you, but you're making it up. So here the Word of God is saying, we have to be wise. We have to have the Spirit of God. And when you're praying, that God will never mislead to you. If God told you so, he will do things. If God told me to go to certain man and pray for that man, and then God will do miracle if God said it. I was walking by and there was a blind man sitting, and the Spirit of God says, pray for this blind man. Now just think, if that was not a God, and if I pray and that man doesn't get healed, there will be blasphemy. I said to the man, sir, you are blind. God is going to open your eyes. But I cannot pray until you believe in Jesus Christ. He said, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm Muslim. I believe in Allah. I believe Jesus is a prophet. I said, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I can pray for you. I give you 5 minutes. And raise your hands. And I'm praying, Lord, let this man raise his hand so I can pray. He raised both of his hands. And I put my thumb. And I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed and open your eyes and see. And all of a sudden he said, I can see car, I see people and everything. And I said, if I tell this story to somebody, nobody's going to believe. One man, 10, 15 feet, came running. He said, this man was blind, I see every day. I was Hindu, now I became a Christian. And I was reading the Bible for miracles. And I never saw one, but today I'm eyewitness. I saw this blind man got healed. What I'm trying to say, if God is not telling you to do things, it will not happen. You cannot just say, God, tell me this, and God told me this. So here he's saying, always you have to understand what the will of God is for me. If God is telling, then I have boldness. If somebody says, don't do this, it will fail, it will not work, I don't listen to those people. If those people are negative, I say, I do not want anything negative. If I knew that God is going to do something and God told me so, I have assurance. If nobody can believe, I believe. Read the verse 18, same chapter, Ephesians 5:18.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
See, here is saying, if you are a Christian, you cannot say, I'm a born-again child of God, and doing the filthy things which is not Christian things. So the Word of God says, if you are a born-again child of God, be not drunk with the wine, do not do all these things, but fill with the Spirit of God. When you are born-again child of God, you have the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. Then you say, Lord, I need a Holy Spirit. Now, when you get Holy Spirit, you are going to speak in unknown tongue, and you are going to praise God in spirit. So that's what you should be doing. And read the verse 19.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
See, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and songs. So that means when you are alone in your house, start singing, start praising, start glorifying God, and keep your heart tuned with God. Then the other sinful things and other sinful thoughts will not come and bother you. Your heart should be filled with Christ always, not only Sunday. When I was not saved, Sunday I'm going to sitting in the church and I'm thinking about the movies. And when this pastor will finish, and he was preaching only 15 minutes. The 15 minutes sound like a 15 hours to me. And I was thinking, when this man is going to finish? And I'm thinking, I'm sitting in the church, this thought should not come. So I'm shaking my head and choking my neck, and it's not going, I'm pushing my heart, nothing going. When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that movie things went out of my mind, completely gone. I have no desire to see Indian songs or Indian movies. Now, most of the Indian people come to America, or Pakistani people come to America, go to their house. They have filthy Indian, Pakistani movies all the time. And they call themselves Christian. Oh, why are you doing this? Oh, we have to learn some culture. That's the way I went to movie, to learn some songs. So instead of learning the song, I start learning their dialogues, I start learning their hairstyle, I start learning how to act and all of these things. So point I'm making, this is all filthy. You don't need those movies. So many Christian movies based on salvation, based on some good stuff. Those are the things you should be watching. So here is saying, you keep your heart pure in the sight of God. Verse 20.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Giving thanks, how many times? Always, for all things unto God. There are people not thankful. You get a good job, oh, people have a better job than me. You get a car, this is not a good car. I need a Ferrari, or I need a convertible. I need. Why you need convertible? To fly away? You go in the speed, your clothes fly away, your necklace fly away, your hair fly away. So point I'm making, people have bad desires, not satisfied and not thanking God what God has already done for them. So here he's saying, give thanks always for all things unto God and unto the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am thankful. I'm so glad that today's day is blessed and I did so many things. So that's what we have to be thankful. Anything you do or anything God does for you, a little thing, be thankful. You don't have to have hit the lottery for $1 million, then you'll be thankful. But I prayed like this, there should be drum on the street and the water should be ice cold. And here comes the drum. There was a drum, and I didn't ask anybody, is your drum or whatever, it was on the street. So I took the water and flushed it on my face. Oh, feels good. Thank you, Lord. And Mike, I took it and put it on my head and everything. And I start looking for comb. Now I'm going to some officer and he's saying, what this man coming like this? So I said, Lord, I didn't bring my comb. Can I have a comb? And there was a comb in the plastic wrap, brand new comb. I picked it up and here says comb, amen, on the name of the company. I said, praise God. So point I'm making, if you're thanking God for every little thing, God will provide. Our God is called Jehovah Jireh. He supplies our need. He's a El Shaddai. He's an all-sufficient God. So we should be thanking God for every little thing. The Word of God says if you are faithful for little thing, then what? God will do great things. What God has given to you, hold it. Hold it tight. Hold it and not allowing enemy to destroy you. That's what watchful you have to be. Working out every day. I do not want somebody giving me some bad news, whispering in my ears, trying to destroy my spiritual life and making me angry. I do not want to do that. He said, work out your salvation with a fear and trembling. Once we are saved, keep your salvation. This, some people are saying, once you're saved, saved forever. Do anything, you don't lose your salvation. The Word of God says, you keep your salvation, protect your life, and then you will be standing for truth. Other people are watching. We are living in sinful world. The church people are not going to say you are a bad person. The sinners are going to say. If you don't go to church and every Sunday you go, somebody say, hey, what happened to you today? Today is a nice weather and you didn't go to church today. They might be not going, but they will telling you, you should be going to church. We should be always faithful because other people are watching. Our ministry is not in the church alone, outside. Let's read the verse 13 and onwards. Philippians chapter 2.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
See, the God is watching and working in you. And God wants you to do everything without murmuring. Okay, as Pastor told me to give these flyers, I didn't want to give it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. If Pastor says, what did you do with the flyers? So I'm doing because I told. That's not a service. You do it to pleasing God. Doing to glorifying God. God is watching over us. We are not here to please people. We are here to please God. That's what the Word of God is saying. We should be always trying to please God in everything. Verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
When you always, without murmuring, without fighting, you start doing the will of God, God will be pleased. And he said, then what happened? Then, that you may be a blameless and harmless. Not only blameless, harmless. Some people can be blameless, but they're harmful to others. As a Christian, I don't have to be harmless. If I don't like somebody, I don't have to harm them. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again child of God. There are all kinds of people in the world. We are here. What is he saying? Why we are here? He's saying,
that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
You are the sons of God without rebuke. What does it mean? If you are a child of God, God should not find any fault in you to rebuke you. So those kind of sons of God. In the midst of the crooked and perverse nations, we are living where? Crooked people, sinful people, all kinds of people around us. So he said, among whom ye shine as a light in the world. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. And then what he said? You are the light of the world, right? So if we are light of the world, and we are reflecting Christ to the world, then all the people are crooked and sinful people, they are watching over us. How you are Christian? If you are Christian, why you use this kind of language? If you are Christian, why you do this? What we have answer? He said, we are living in crooked and perverse generation. All kinds of people are there. So we should be shining as a light to these unsaved people. That's why we are here. We have to watch where we're going, watch what we're doing, watch what other people talking about us. If I'm going to bar every day and not drinking wine or any drugs, but just go there to drink milk, I'm not doing anything wrong. I just go and drink milk and come out. What other person going to think? This person is going to bar every day. He might be drinking wine. Even though I'm drinking milk, people are going to say, I'm a drinking wine. Other day, one person, he was working and he's putting a pencil in his mouth. And actually, his pencil, and then he hold like this and put it in hand. I was far away. And I went to close to him. I said, sir, you are a child of God. I thought you were smoking. He said, no, this is a pencil. I said, but you're putting a pencil such a way, like this, and you're taking like this and putting in a pocket. I want to see if there's a pencil or a cigarette. I saw it's a pencil, but he's got a bad habit. He starts having bad habit putting his pencil and holding like a cigarette. So this is what the Word of God is saying. We should not be giving any bad example to other people that I'm doing good, but who cares what other people think? No, there are people watching us as a Christian. So we should be a light to this world, to these people. Go to the book of Hebrews, start reading from chapter 10, verse 35.
Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
See, every Christian, when they finish their course, when they finish their race, they are going to get their crowns, they are going to get their reward, they are going to get God's blessing. You are not going to get the crown middle of your race. You have to finish the race. We have started a Christian life, and we cannot stop middle of our Christian journey. Journey is tough, but we have Christ. You have to do the will of God, and then you get the promise. Read verse 37.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
Yet a little while, and he will come. Many people are saying, oh, you are telling Jesus is coming. So many people set the dates and everything, and Jesus didn't come. And so the people say, now he's not coming, let me do whatever I want to do. He says he will come. He is not going to change his word. In Peter, he says there is a one day like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a one day in the sight of God. He doesn't go according to our calendar. He has his own timing. If Jesus Christ would have said, people said, when are you coming back? If he would have said, I'm coming 2009, what people will do? They can do anything up to 2008. And 2009, they might say, let's go to church January. God did not tell us when he's coming. But he says, a little while, he's coming. Let's read further.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Just shall live by faith. Who is just? Just means righteous. Believer will live by faith. Now the people are panic about the financial crisis. We have no jobs, and we are going to lose jobs, and we are going to lose our mortgages, and all kinds of things, and people are having lots of problems. Where are they looking? They are looking at the government. They are looking at the president. He said thousands of letters are coming to president. President is not God. He doesn't have answers. The word of God says, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, trust in the living God. Our God is the answer. If we start trusting in man, we will fail. Do you know how many presidents we had? One president, we said he's a good president, And 4 years, before 4 years, we said, he's not a good president. Let's impeach him. And then another president comes. Before he can finish 100 days, people start saying, he's not a good president. So this is what happens because we trust in people. We have to trust in God. When we start trusting God, we will not have a problem. He says, God is not having pleasure in you because you are just trying to say, I cannot do it. I have problems. And I cannot finish my course. I'm going to stop this Christian life. Every day I'm going to church. I'm not going to church. I'm going to sit. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm tired of doing this because God is not answering. You are not looking at your spiritual life. Am I doing something wrong? Why God is not listening to my prayer? Or I'm doing everything right? Even though you do everything right, still we'll have problems. Let's finish this verse 39.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
See, he said we are not going to go back and go to hell. But when we stand still, God is going to save our soul. Our journey, we have to finish it. We cannot do half journey. Trials and tribulations and problems will come. Jesus Christ said, you will have trouble in this world, but be a good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now we have the overcomer, who is Christ. And when we are his followers and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, then what the word of God says, when you start doing the things what Jesus told you to do, then you are more than conqueror. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. How did it happen? Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go to my Father. Work I did, you do also, and you do greater. So he made us a conqueror. So we are not ordinary people. But the trial, tribulation comes, for something good happens. If there is no testing, if there is no ACT test, you cannot go to college. You cannot get a scholarship. There should be a testing. If there is no testing, no good marks, no scholarship. Go to this James chapter 1 and start reading from verse 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and wanting nothing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, when you go through the fiery trials, like a gold goes to the fire, then you get honor from God. You get purified. So if there is no trial, no second grade, no third grade, no college, no university. So they should be testing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20.
For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
See, if you're doing something wrong, and then somebody punishes you, and you just say, who cares if they beat me, they say something bad, else okay, I did some wrong, so I'm going to say, keep quiet. That is not going to be glorifying God. You did commit sin. You ask God forgiveness, get out of that sin. And that's what the word of God is saying. If you're doing something wrong and you're taking punishment and not saying anything, it's not glorifying God. God is not going to say, look at that son. Mommy hit him. Mommy kicked him. He didn't say anything. He's a good son. God is not going to say that until he changes. God wants to see his heart, not outside beating. He said, if you're doing something without committing any sin, and somebody arrested you, and somebody said bad about you. Jesus Christ was accused, right? And he was on the cross. He did not say, I didn't do anything wrong. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's Christianity. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. He says, if it is the will of God that we should suffer for good doing, that is better than doing evil.
For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
So the God will allow us to go through even though you didn't do anything bad. I cannot take abuse from somebody which I didn't do it. God knows. Why you worry about what these people are saying? People will say bad things even though you didn't do it. I don't know how to defend myself. God knows that I didn't do it. God is watching over me. They're doing something wrong. God will take care of them. I don't have to worry. Romans 8:18.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
See, present time, in this world we have suffering, all kinds of suffering. But the suffering we have, and the compare what the glory we are going to get, we are going to have eternity with God. This couple of days suffering, or few years, or few months suffering, is nothing comparing to what God is going to give us, a glorious life. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. We are living in this body. This body is fragile. People can hurt. We can get old. This body is perishable. But we don't have to worry about that.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
See, if you get old, if you get sick, if you get any problems, don't worry. You're going to die someday. So the word of God is saying, do not compare what you having problem in this world, what glory you are going to get. You keep your eyes on the goal. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, Jesus Christ has had his eyes on the goal. That's why he suffered for us. So we should have some goal. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to be useful for the glory of God. I don't care what the problem comes. I'm not looking at my problem. I'm looking at Christ. And that's my goal. Read verse 17.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
He says, light affliction. Here people, they don't want anybody looking at them, anybody saying anything, anybody doing anything. Don't worry. Look at Christ. And then he said, this light affliction for what? Worketh for a moment, for a while. It goes away. There is a saying, there's one man comes in the radio and says, this also will pass away. He said, whatever the problem is, this will pass away. Whatever problem is not going to stay all the time. It will go. It will be gone. It's not going to be there. But he says, whatever exceedingly glorious life we got, measure it. Hear that problem and hear glorious things. Which has more weight? The glorious. The other one has no weight. The more power is in God. So we are here as the children of God. People are trying to destroy us with a verbally, physically. Even some Christians are getting killed in Pakistan, in India, in some other countries. What the word of God is saying? Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. I'm going to finish there.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
They can kill your body, but they have no power to kill your soul. But the God has. Keep on reading.
Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven.
See, here the word of God is saying, God is watching over you. Are you going to deny Christ because of suffering or going to hold on to Jesus Christ? He says, why you worry? Your each and every hair is counted by God. You're worth more than many sparrows. We love the Lord and he loves us. Our life is hidden in the Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, once you are born again, he sends the angels to minister to you. He says, I'll keep the hedge of protection over you and over your house. We don't have to worry. If my God is watching over me and every hair is counted and God knows what I'm going through, then he will take care of me. He says only one thing, do not refuse Christ or deny Christ. If you deny Christ, then he will deny you in heaven. So why are we living in this world? Our life is for Christ. He redeemed us. He paid the penalty. He purchased us with his blood. We are going to please him. We are going to do his will, not our will. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. People are dying without God and without Christ. We are going to keep our eyes on Christ. He is coming very soon. We do not have time to waste. Please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood and give us mind to follow you. No one has power to destroy us. Your word says the God is not watching the city. Watchman's watching is in vain. If God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. So Lord, keep the hedge of protection over our church members, our family members. No sickness, no disease could come to our dwelling because we are belong to you. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.